278.
Thanks.
Oh, and you looked at me with love and took me in. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are praising Jesus through, for the things he's brought us through. Thank you.
Share a quick story. There's different kinds of church programs on the internet that I listen to. There's one up in, I believe it's North Carolina, that I catch at, and boy, they got some wonderful music and wonderful, I mean, just wonderful singing they have. And then there's this black church that I catch, and I'm not going to name name in case you watch it too, but it's a big church. I mean, they had at one time, well, it was like wall-to-wall black folks in church. I mean, it was, man. And you talking about singing, they had wonderful singing, they had a good preacher, but they were just full to the brim. So they built them a larger church. I'm not talking about a little bit bigger, I'm talking about massive. And it took them a long time, and well over a year, and I don't know how long, but well over a year just to build it. But it was so big, it was unbelievable. And the way they did it, their first church, the choir was right behind the preacher. And they didn't have any seats, so the people had to sit up there. I mean, they had to stay up there the whole time. And you would get some reactions, you know how if you're on television and you're following the preacher, and you can see how people react, you know. Well, they wised up on this next one, and they built the choir loft a whole lot higher. Hope you don't know this church now. So it's a whole lot higher. Whenever you're looking at TV, you don't see nothing but a wall. They're way up there. Well, all fine, well, and good to build a big church as long as you can put people in it. They built the church so big that those same people that go to church, it don't look like as many. They built such a big choir, now they have a spot in between each member just to kind of like make it look like it fills up. Now that's what we're doing tonight. We're practicing that tonight. We got plenty of room, so y'all make sure you scatter out, and that will be your normal setting. Now on Sunday morning, try not to follow that program, but on Sunday night, scatter out, and it makes look like the church is full, and it's not. You know why I said that? I'm just mean at times. And I want you to understand what we're going to sing when we get to heaven. I'll quit in just a minute. I figured it out. It ain't going to be like when they ring those golden bells for me, because we're going to already be up there. So that one's out. We got a whole bunch of others that ain't going to qualify. All right? They just ain't going to qualify. So I figured it out. How many total years has this earth been into existence? Don't get round with me. Just say 6,000, okay? So 6,000. God's going to split the difference. Going to go 3,000 years ago. And whatever they were singing then, that's what we're going to sing. We ain't going to know the first tune when we get there. Not the first tune. We're going to be lost as a goose in that music, because they didn't even have a piano in those days. So what in the world are we going to sing? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Ain't going to make it, because there ain't no roll up like that number. Either you're there or you're not. Now, for those two funny ones, I'll hush and be quiet. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And I want you to pray for one for another. We're going to have Wednesday night Bible study. Don't forget that. And next Sunday, keep in mind, after service, not before, not during, but after service, we'll have dinner. and stick around and eat with us. And if you can, stick around for the singing about 1:30, okay? Brother Willard has agreed, and I appreciate it so much. I just ask him on spur of the moment this morning to help me, because I tell you, it was a killer on the old throat. But I appreciate Brother Willard. Brother Willard, you come at this time, brother. I'll hush. Uh-huh. I will not go into that because it would make me guilty sometimes.
Well, this ain't working. Just make sure I didn't have to turn something. Now, Brother Tally, that crow's nest, you may have to reel it in just a little bit. If I make some funny sounds now, y'all let me know. They have threatened to make me sound like Donald Duck. I don't look nothing like Donald Duck. That'd be the strangest thing, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what, you got to watch that bunch back here. I told him, I said, you're going to keep on, preacher's going to make you sit on the front pew. He said, he made me sit in the back. I was like, okay. Well, if you will, take your Bibles and let's turn to Revelation. That's where I want to go, chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Big subject. You know, every time you open this Bible, it's a big subject. They ain't no little thing in the Bible, I guarantee you that. But I want to start by reading you Revelations chapter 1 and verse 8 is where I want to go. The Bible says here, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I mean, if you ain't careful, a lot of times we read the scripture and we just read it and we don't listen good, do we? So I want to break this verse down a little bit and slow down with it and see if we can't glean some fruit out of this and get food for our journey. But the Lord said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And I want you to know the testimony of these words, saith the Lord. Jesus, that's his testimony. He declared that himself. John just wrote it down. He said, Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega. And, of course, that means the beginning and the end. All of us know that. But so I want to take, I just wanted to point out that that is the Lord's testimony. So I find great comfort. This verse here gives me great comfort just all the time, every day, to break this down and see what the Lord says here. And, He said also here, which is and which was and which is to come. And then he puts this word here, Almighty. Now, I want to break this down just a little bit, and I want to start with the beginning. These are big subjects. Like I said, anytime you take the Bible and you open it up, it's just, a lot of times it's just overwhelming. If you're like me, you would think the older you get, the easier this stuff gets, but it don't. My brain is so, it just storms when I study now. And it just, the more information you get in there, the harder it is for the Lord to narrow you down and focus in. And used to, it was easy when I first got saved because I didn't know nothing. I could tell you again. You know, but 40-something years of studying the Bible, it becomes difficult to narrow this down. But in the beginning, Alpha, I want to tackle this subject for just a second. And I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 1. I believe I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. All right. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Just hang a left and go a short ways and you'll get there. Now in Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 15. The Bible says here, who is the image of the invisible God? Now this is referring to Christ. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. Now, when we think about the term Jesus said, Alpha, the beginning, you know, a lot of times our brains are narrowed down by just the thought of the beginning. I had a beginning. My beginning was, as the scope of time goes, was not that far ago. I think about my great-grandmother. She lived to be 99 years old, just like a little time, being 100 years old. Went to the doctor once in her life at 99, and then she died. She should have never went, had 15 kids, never went to a doctor. Anyway, but when we think about time, a lot of times we're bent on what we see around us. So we just think, you know, my car is 10 years old. This is that old, and so forth and so forth. But when we think about what Jesus said here, he said, I am Alpha. That's the beginning. Now, I want you to think about the beginning just a little bit. What we just read here, for by him are all things created. So now most everybody knows now in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. But what we have here is a time frame to go back to. In Genesis chapter 1, I never forget when I was a young Christian, just really saved, not too long. God just put it, there was so much I didn't know, so I began to read, and the more I read, the more I learned, and it would just blew my mind. I couldn't believe it, you know, the things you could learn in the Bible. And, you know, I was raised by a great family. My mom and daddy, the strongest morals in the country. Most Christians, in most homes couldn't touch the morals I was raised with. I couldn't use bad words or nothing. You know, if you said anything out other than communication, daddy'd call you in real quick. He'd say, well, son, Jesus said, let your conversation be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Any more of these cometh of evil. He said, don't speak none of nothing, but if you got something to tell me, you tell me, but don't add all that to it. You know, so we had good morals. But, you know, daddy just never learned to sit down with his Bible and share it with you and teach you. And of course, like a lot of people in our world, there was discouragement and things, and church become not a part of our lives, which the kids really begin to suffer over this because I didn't know the Lord. And of course, years passed. But as I begin to read the Bible, you know, these subjects... they were just way over me. I'd never forget. I was reading one time, and I laid down and went to bed, you know, and that's when your brain really calms down for a second before you go to sleep. I fixed more vehicles in my life by just going in and going to bed at night and laying there and thinking, that's what's wrong with that. And, well, the Bible's the same way. You know, I meditate on his word and read it, and then I go to bed. And I'm laying there, and the verse hit me. I read it, but it didn't. Just like I said, you know, we can read over this stuff really. Anyway, I laid down there, and what happened was I just read the verse. Jesus was the first fruit of them that slept being past tense. My brain picked up the past tense of sleeping. We'll see that become an issue in my brain as a young boy. I wonder, well, what happens when people die? You know, most of us, we take for granted. Most everybody in the church knows this now, but I didn't know this. And I thought, you know, you sit around, you hear people talk. Well, some back then, people talked about graves sleeping a lot, you know, and oh, they'll be there till the resurrection, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, poor granny, she didn't look too good. We put her in that casket, and now she's going to have to lay there till the resurrection. So I didn't know. But, you know, that was a revelation to me that Jesus was the first fruit of them that slept. So then I got out of bed, and I began to study, and I realized that, hey, Jesus died for Adam and Eve. And Abraham and all the Old Testament saints, none of them went to heaven without Christ. So Jesus, it began to make better sense now. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, not just New Testament people. So nobody went to heaven until Jesus died, and so things begin to click. So then we got the beggar Lazarus and the rich man, and that story there, the gulf fixed. But then after Christ, the gulf was destroyed, and we read Old Testament, hell enlarges herself, and then Jesus he took them all and carried them to heaven with him, because he had paid the sin debt. Right, so you see, this stuff begins to unravel as we study the scripture. So then I think, that's pretty good right there. And then you read along, and then you, for by him all things are created. And you begin to learn. You begin to think, now wait a minute. How did he create everything if he come about in the manger? I've seen the nativity scenes in churches, and we read it, and I thought, Jesus was born in a manger. But see, Jesus predates the manger. See, nobody had ever told me that was an incarnation. He had already existed before then. So then we begin to learn these things. And so now I'm trying to date Alpha. I'm trying to, figure Jesus out. Now, he's Alpha. That's his own testimony. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending, saith the Lord. That's his testimony. So I want to figure out. So I begin to travel here. And so Genesis, we see in Genesis that we got the Trinity in the first chapter of Genesis. And he may disagree with me, and this is fine. I don't believe in a pre-Adamic race, and I don't believe in a gap theory. There's a continuation in the book of Genesis. The Bible says, and. Read it. Everything's a continuation. God provides the resources, and Jesus creates, and the Holy Spirit assisted. We see that in the beginning, the earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God, there's the Holy Ghost, moved across the face of the waters and began to divide. And then we find Jesus. The Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, all that stuff. And then in Genesis, God says, let us, in the plural sense, make man in our own image. You ever thought about the first thing that Adam saw in his whole life? The first thing that Adam ever saw with his own eyes was the face of God. God formed him from the dust of the earth. I can see Jesus just forming up this dust, creating this man, you see. And then God reached down and through his nostrils, he breathed the breath of life. And Adam opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, the first thing he ever saw in his whole life was God's face. Ain't that something? Face of God. I had a guy in church one time, an old man told me years ago, I was preaching about something. He told me at church, he said, no man can see God. We won't ever see God. I said, no, we will too. Brother, the Bible says then face to face. I'm going to see the face of God. But now in Genesis, so what we got here is Jesus forming man from the dust of the earth in the book of Genesis in the first chapter. Well, you say, okay, we found the beginning. No, we ain't got there yet. We hadn't got to the beginning yet. Jesus said, I'm Alpha, the beginning. So I said, okay, I'll study some more. So Jesus was before all things. He's before Adam. Now, I see him before Adam. But he was before then. Now, turn with me to the Gospel of John for just a minute. St. John. I like that terminology. Brother Redmond told us that last week, I believe it was, verified, not 1 John, but St. John. I like that. Saint. Ain't that something? God calls us saints, not sinners. Saints. All right, now, and John, I'll get sidetracked here real easy, so y'all don't start that with me, and I'll try to not get sidetracked. All right, so chapter 1 and verse 1. This is what John says to us here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, now we're getting some more information here. Now, not only do we have in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but the Word was God. Now, I'm tracing the Alpha back. I want to find out where Alpha begins. I want to go all the way back. I'm not stopping until I find where it begins. I'm going to continue my pursuit. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, you'll talk to yourself plumb stupid. Now, I'm going to get stupid with you a little bit here as we travel a little bit. But I'm just going to give you an elementary evaluation of this subject. The reason I'm going to do that ain't because I don't think you're intelligent. I believe your intellect may go beyond mine. Probably does. And your intelligence may be much higher. You may be a higher learned individual. You might be able to carry. But I'll get plumb stupid on you if I try to run this trail too far. But we're going to run a little ways, and I'm going to stop just in time so I don't get too stupid. Because when you start trying to tell and explain God to people, you'll get plumb stupid. And the same thing with the Lord Jesus. I mean, you can explain so far, but when you get back so far, your brain cannot absorb that beyond that. Do you know God didn't have a mama? He didn't have a daddy. No beginning of days, and he has no ending of life. In my opinion, now, here again, what I read out of the Bible and my understanding, to understand Melchizedek in the scripture, you must understand Jesus. They two are the same. You got Christ, the Lord Jesus, without a beginning of day or ending of life. Now, so I'm telling you, we're tracing Alpha. And I want to find out when Alpha begins. But here again, like I said, we're going to go on a trail that'll make you real dumb real fast. So just hang in there with me a little bit and see if I can carry us down this road just a little bit. All right, so now we find in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Now, we've kind of established. Now, are we talking... when we go back to Genesis, we find Jesus and God together. Jesus with his Father. A Father with his Son. Creating. You know, I've studied creation, and I always wonder why God did it. I mean, you go down to the Garden of Eden. It seemed like all he wanted was fellowship with somebody. God had everything he could humanly and godly think about just within in his own self. But yet he saw the trouble. But he was willing. I mean, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before they ever created the first particle of this earth, before God ever spun the first dust particle together or created dust. He sat down with his Son and he said, you know you'll have to go to Calvary. You know these people are going to sin, don't you? You know every one of them are going to be sinners. And the only way we can fix it, you'll have to go down there and die. And it was agreed upon. And so, why did God do it? I studied that out. And I'm going to tell you what I concluded. After all my study, after all my thinking, I figured out why God, the motivating factor behind all creation. It's simple. It's called love. God in eternity past welled up within himself with a product we call love. And I'm smart enough to know, and God's much smarter than me, love unexpressed is never satisfied. It's never fulfilled. So that's where Jesus come about. God, one day in eternity past, welled up with so much love that he birthed his own Son. And you and me come about because he saw so much of himself in his Son and so much need for expression within his Son that he created this world. God created you and I so his Son could express himself with us. Ain't that something that the God of all creation wants to dwell with me? But we're tracing Alpha. And like I said, this is a deep subject and very troublesome to my mind and much harder to explain. And I'll get stupid on you here in a little while if I try to go too deep in this because my brain can't do it. I can trace the egg to the chicken, the chicklet to the egg, the acorn to the tree. But sooner or later, you got to come back where that tree come from. It's easy for me to think, well, God put it there. That's what we tell everybody, ain't it? Hey, God put the tree there. God created a chicken. Okay, everything comes from, I come from my mama. My mama come from her mama. You see, we got genealogies all around us. But yet when you go to God, there is no genealogy. There was no Miss God. God has no ancestral genetics. I got a buddy, he popped out two red-headed kids. Just as red-headed as they could be. He had four kids. None of the rest, nobody in his family's red-headed. He said, where did it come from, Brother Willard? I said, that was a jump gene. Come from back yonder somewhere, I don't know. Somewhere in your family, there were some redheads. Somewhere in my family, there were some baldheads. I knew I was going to get this. Of course, I don't take it as God, he made some perfect heads and the rest he covered with hair. But I knew I was going to get it. You know why? Both my grandpas are bald-headed. And as fate would have it, Daddy never went bald-headed. I said, I'm going to get it. Bald-headed is not a problem if you could just get there. You know, that's the hard part. What do you do with it till you get there? I don't know. That's a different subject, though. I'll let Brother Redmond take that note Sunday. All right, but so what we got here is a situation where we're trying to trace in find Omega. And I'm gonna run this real fast now, so y'all just bear with me. All things were created by him. Now, in John 14, I want to read John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now look in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, I'm talking about tracing Alpha. Now, what I want to do now is carry us to the word begotten. Do you know what the word begotten means? Birthed. You might say a woman has begotten a son or a daughter or whatever. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. We've done established the simple fact that God has no ancestors. God did not come from nobody. God's always existed. Now, see, we can't understand that. Don't even try. Just through the same faith that we do everything else except that. You want to talk to yourself stupid? Try to figure out where God come from. God created everything in this earth with a genetic gene pool and an ancestral trait that we can just trace it all the pieces. And when we get back to for the, did the chicken come first, or the egg come first, or the acorn come first, or the egg tree come first? I mean, when you start tracing all that and trying to figure all that out, once you figure that out, you try to make the next step, it goes blank. You'll never understand God. The only thing we can do with God is receive him and bask in his love. Just like when I was a little boy, I played in my daddy's backyard. I didn't worry about nothing. That's why I go through life. This is my daddy's backyard. I'm just playing, and he'll come get me when it's time. I ain't worried about it. I don't know where daddy, you know, when I was a little boy, I didn't worry about my daddy. I knew he was doing what daddy does all the time. It's like God. I can't explain God. I just know he's there, and it's always been there. But for our understanding of where I'm going with this, we need to understand God. There was no Miss God. God has no ancestors. God is God. He exists by himself. He needs nobody. God don't need my praise. God don't need nothing from me. It's my blessed privilege to enter into the court with the beast and march back and forth and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's my blessed privilege. God don't need it. He's secure. He knows he's holy. You understand what I'm saying. But what I want to tell you was God birthed his own son, begotten. It's all in the New Testament. God sent his only what? Begotten into the world, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So as I trace Alpha, it goes beyond Genesis. Alpha goes back to eternity past. Well, you say, okay, we can't mark Jesus' birth in the manger, and we call it Christmas, and we all celebrate, which is good. I think we ought to. And I think all that we do on Christmas is wonderful. Give presents, love each other, and have parties, and put up lights, and Jesus, light of the world. I mean, just go ahead and just soak it up. But here's the thing. That was not his beginning. I'm running Alpha now. Now we're going back to Genesis. Now we're going back beyond Genesis. He was the first of all God's creation before anything was ever made that was made. Jesus. All right, so now, Alpha. So in eternity past, let's put it this way. In eternity past, God birthed his own son. All right. That's begotten. He's the birth of the Father. Now, you say, okay, then Jesus had to begin in eternity past. Well, let's just keep thinking about this just for a second. Jesus, when God birthed Christ, the Bible, we done read that that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, all this kind of, well, here's what happens. When God birthed Jesus, begot him, I'm talking about in eternity past, before the world was framed or anything. God, all he had to put in Christ was himself. So when he birthed Christ, Christ became the image of the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, I bore the image of my earthly. A lot of people say you look like your daddy, you know? And a lot of people, my wife says sometimes you act like your daddy. But it ain't not Jesus. I'm messed up. I got mama in me too. It's when mama comes out to you, you better look out. Now, daddy was a good, easygoing man, but mama, she'd wring your jaws now. She didn't play. And I thank God for that. My mama didn't back up from sin, brother. She even thought I was sinning, she come looking for me. And I ain't going to tell you the things that my mama, she scared me. She knew what I was doing. And nobody knew what I was doing. My mama showed up in some of the strangest places I ever saw. You just wouldn't believe it. And I'm not going to tell you. You know why? My sins as far as the east is from the west, they're buried. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, moving on, pressing on to the mark and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think about that stuff in the past. I'm glad God don't even know it anymore. But I just remember mama that she fought me all she could. But what I'm saying is Jesus, when God birthed Jesus, all he had was himself to put in him. And this, therefore, Jesus had eternity past. So in this aspect of this subject, trying to figure Alpha out, Jesus never had a beginning because the Father put all himself in the Son. Therefore, the Son possessed eternity past. I told you we was going to get stupid, didn't I? Best thing we can do now is say, and move. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you the greatest thing Jesus ever created in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8:6. I need to hurry this up. Like I said, I get going on this stuff running these rabbits. I'll be here all day. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Now I want to show you the greatest thing that Jesus ever created. And but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now, that sounds confusing, but it ain't too hard. God, of whom are all things, basically God provided the materials. You remember the story of David, how he gathered up, God wouldn't let him build a temple, but he gathered up materials for Solomon. And that's what God did. He wanted his son to do the creating. And so he gathered up all the materials. And so, of whom are all things? Now, Jesus, when we deal with him out of this verse, by whom are all things? So now, we in him, that's God, we by him, Jesus. God gave Jesus everything he needed to get us into God. You ever heard the term redemption, redeem? You ever heard the term reconciliation? Reconciliation has the implication of being reunited with something. Reconciled. Understand what he's saying? Back to, you know, I'm not trying to get crazy with y'all or nothing, but, you know, we come from heaven. God held me in his hand. Mom and daddy made what you see, this little thing of flesh I walk around in, but God held my spirit and everything in his hand. And I can't explain all this. I ain't going to try this. We ain't going down this road. But what I am saying is that God held me in his hand. He put me in my mama's womb and wrapped me in this body, and here I am. He planted a little kernel of corn in a field and hoped to receive a full ear. He wants increase. We understand our stern master. But here's what I'm saying. God provided all the resources, our Old Testament, everything in it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's resource. Everything, all the typologies, all the allegories, every metaphor, everything in the Old Testament is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and teach us about Christ. And it's for this one building that Christ was going to do. And we just read it. God provided the power, resources, and will by Jesus. Jesus built all things. The greater things, the greatest thing that Jesus ever framed together, you know what it was? Me and you. The greatest thing that Jesus ever framed in the whole existence of this planet was not the Garden of Eden. It wasn't the beautiful rivers that flowed out of the garden and the gold and the diamond. All these wonderful, it wasn't the angels of heaven. It was where I stand right now in this, I'm a temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwelleth within me. Know ye not, you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ephesians 4, 3, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. I mean, we go on, but the greatest thing God ever formed was you and with his spirit in you. That's what God wanted. Jesus, when he died on Calvary, died for the sins of the whole world, he took his own blood, entered into the holies of holies. You remember the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom? That represented the barrier in between God and man. God wanted to reconcile us, get us back into his favor, get us back in his will, back into his presence. And the only way he could do it was through the body of the Lord Jesus. So he poured our sins on him. You know the story. But we've been reconciled unto God through the body of Christ. God provided all the material. So Omega, the beginning, has no beginning. It's as eternal past as eternity past could be. It flows beyond time. Now, the good news is, I hope we've finished Omega. The bad news is, Alpha. The bad news is we still got to go through Omega and then what else? Two more points, but no, I'm kidding. I'm going to wrap this up real quick, but I do want to touch on this real fast. I want to talk about Omega just a minute, the ending. The ending, Matthew warns us about a narrow way, and few that's walking that narrow way. It warns us about a broad way, and many there be. You see, life is a choice. But what I want to warn everybody walking these roads, whether you're on the narrow way or the broad way, we see as distant past as Omega is, the power of Christ to rule Omega. I am his eternity past. We could drive this Omega the same way we just drove Alpha. But we don't have time. So what I want to do is say this, work through it real fast. So we've got two roads to walk. But I want to explain this real briefly, that no matter what road we're on, we're going to run into Jesus. That's part of heading off into Omega, the end of this thing. You and I, everybody in this room, is going to run into Jesus. Heads just dead into him. All right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read a great story there, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where us Christians are going. In our future, in Omega, as we travel through Omega. But the good news is Jesus said, I am Omega. That's the good news. He's as much Omega as he is Alpha. But the bad news is, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus is Lord of all. They ain't a proud man that's going to stand on this planet that ain't going to bow both knees. It ain't going to be none of this single knee bow. I don't care how old you are or who you are, both knees will bow. And they'll bow before the Lord. Now we're in judgment. That's what Omega holds as we travel forward. But you know, in Revelation chapter 19, we read about Jesus. He dips his vesture in blood. I mean, Omega holds a lot of things, but we're going to travel this on and try to wind it up. And I believe that's his own blood. There's two things right now that can save everybody in the world. The blood of Jesus and the Word of God. Them two harmoniously work together and save anybody. But those two things, the two things that can save the world are coming back to judge the world. And by the only one worthy to judge the world. And that's the Lord Jesus. On that white horse, as that blood runs down off his vesture, that's his own blood. It's coming back to judge the world. The very thing that can save it now judges it. Omega's got a long trail. Omega's is eternal. It's Alpha. It's just the other, traveling the other direction. But I do want to mention a couple other things real quick. In Revelation 1:8, the Bible says, which is and which was and which is to come. This word here is inserted, the Almighty. I like that, Almighty. There's nobody more powerful than the Lord Jesus. He covers the scope of time with which is and which was and which is to come. Those are the three tenths of time. It's our past, it's our present, and it's our future. So maybe tonight I've stirred you to think just a little bit and find comfort in it. Ain't nothing to worry about. Jesus started this up. He's going to shut it down, and he's controlling everything in between. Almighty, I thank you. God bless you, brother.